I'm going to tell you something, guys. There's power twofold in what God says to us and in what we declare over others. What you did right now, or what you just did in releasing grace into the person that you were holding their hand, releasing grace into their life, huge. Monumentally huge. When God gives you words, God gives you things to give people, prophetic words, encouragement, love, support, whatever it is, huge. Okay? I was going through this morning, I got here and I was like, doggone it, I forgot to bring an additional check for the food, the Action Ministries food drive for CCC, and I always keep a spare check, and so I was pulling a spare check out of my billfold, and as I was pulling it out, Joseph, there was a folded up little letter in there, and I said, this has got to be significant or I wouldn't have kept it. And so I pulled, in the middle of all my fishing license and hunting license and all that stuff, I pulled it out, and it was a prophetic word that Mail had given to me on a Sunday morning on January 1st, 2013. And as I read that, I was so moved because it was just as applicable in my life today, and on October 29th, 2017, as it was nearly 5 years ago. It was about the time that I started this journey that I'm on right now. I started a journey when I was right after I turned 50, and it was about the time I started that journey. But that prophetic word, that prophetic declaration is still significant, and it is still moving forward. It's like when God said, let there be light. He set it in motion, guys. He didn't speak it and then it stopped. It is still moving in motion. And I have the power to release that into your life. I have that power to release that into you guys. Y'all have the power to release that into each other's lives. And that is huge. And I want you to get that, and I want you to tap into that and understand that's more important. I'm not saying that all this other isn't important. It is important to understanding what the Word says, but that carries so much more weight than just getting a head knowledge of what the Bible says. Okay? I want us to be a people that flow in that. I'm going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to continue. We've been talking about doing a series on living a life that is true worship. And everything, the foundational that we've built out of this is based on the design, the word that the Lord gave me a while back. And he told me very clearly, he said, the design of man, the true design of man, is to be my expression of myself here on the earth. The blueprint of man, if you take blueprint of man and say, this is what man's supposed to look like, it's supposed to be his expression of himself here on earth. And that's a lofty goal, and that's a lofty standard for us, but that's what the blueprint looks like, guys. Is that Randy Hagin is supposed to look like God here on earth. Terry Hagin's supposed to look like God here on earth. Sid Garner's supposed to look like God here on earth. You guys are supposed to look like God here on earth. And I want to, at the end of the day, I want to live a life, not only a life that is well lived, but a life that is complete. I was meditating on the Lord yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you. I was sitting in a deer stand getting wet, but I was meditating on the Lord as I was doing that. And I was like, God, what do you want me to say to the house tomorrow? What do you want me to release to the house? Because I've been in this study and I could preach, I could preach 1,000 different things this morning, and I could bring a good word out of preaching 1,000 different things this morning and all. But you don't need a good word. You need what the Lord says. And the Lord said, I want you to talk about a rental car. And I'm like, what are you talking about, God? He said, we've been in some deep stuff. And all. He said, no, this is. How many of you guys in here, y'all have ever rented a rental car? Go ahead and lift your hands up. A big portion of the people have rented a rental car. When you go to the rental car counter and you rent a rental car, they will ask you a question after they get past the need to see your driver's license, do you want insurance and all that. They will ask you a question, Nick, and say, do you want to purchase the fuel option? In the fuel option, basically, you're prepaying for a tank of gas at a discounted rate. Let's just throw out there for laughs, $3 a gallon. But if I bring it back, if I take it out full and I don't do the pre-purchase and I bring it back and it's half empty, you know what they charge me to cap it off? About $6 a gallon. So if you think you're going to burn most all the tank of gas up, it behooves you to go ahead and prepay for the tank because it will save you money. I never do this. And the reason that I never do this is because I have this fear. There is no way I'm going to burn a whole tank of gas. And I'll be dogged if I'm going to bring a car back with a half full tank of gas that I've already paid for. Because that's just a waste of my money. And God said, that's what I want you to tell the people tomorrow. That's what I want you to talk about tomorrow. That's the way that we live our Christian lives. Is that we come in and we're like this rental car. And God's come in and God has purchased a full tank of gas. But out of fear, we refuse that option. And we come in and we say, I don't think I'll use it all up. Because so what I will do is I always, before I go back to the airport, I try to be real slick. You know, I wait till I'm like 30 miles out or 50 miles out, and then I'll fill it up because it's cheaper away from the airport. But then I can get that much more. I guess it's kind of being cheap. You can say it's being thrifty or whatever. And then they'll come back, and it still looks full, but it's not quite full. So I got them for that other $3 after I paid them $800 to rent their car for a week. You see what I'm saying on this? So in my mind, I'm only going to fill back up what I use. And we go through our Christian lives with the fear and maybe with the pre-design that I am not going to empty this thing all the way out, so I'll just fill back up what I use out of this. And we decline the fuel option that God's already purchased for us. Is anybody feeling what I'm saying this morning? I mean, that's just the way God speaks to me, T.W. I'm sitting up there and I'm saying, okay, God, I'm with you on this. And He starts going through all this. And he's talking to me. He's not saying, boy, this will get T.W. right here, get him. He's talking to me. He's saying, you go through life and you say, I'm only going to use a quarter tank. And so I can cap that back off and then we'll be good. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I'm going to be all in enough to empty the tank. You know what the ultimate Christian life looks like? Is when that thing looks like it is on E and the last drop of gas has got burnt through that tank, God calls you home. That's what the ultimate Christian life looks like. It's when I have used every drop that He purchased in this tank and put in this tank, Terry. When I use every single drop, He said, okay, now I can take Him home. I'm done with Him. But I have this feeling inside me that there's not going to be enough gas in the tank. And the more we understand our car, the more we know how far we can go on. I won't chance it on a rental car. But you can get in my car and it'll say 3 miles till empty and I'll be like, we got another 20 miles. We good. Terry drives her nuts if she's riding with us. She said, you know that thing says 15 miles till empty. And I said, I know, but we don't have but 38 miles to go. We're going to make it. Because I know my car. Alicia, you with me, Alicia? You with me on that? And the thing is with life, man, is we go through life and we want to constantly keep so much in reserve because we're afraid that this thing is going to play all the way out. And He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And we look at these hardships and we look at these journeys and we look at stuff that life throws at us and the potential. Shane Barclay last night did not know that he was going to have to go to the emergency room this morning and look at his family when his brother and they said he's dead, we can't revive him. So there better be some gas in the tank. There better be some grace. And knowing my God, there is. There will be. As horrific as it is and as hard as it is, there is always ample grace. I look at the Apostle Paul and I look him talking at Timothy right here in 1 Timothy 4. And I love some of the wording and I want to hit this on in just a second. But I want us to ask ourselves the question. In Romans 12:1, Paul tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He says that's our reasonable service, is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And y'all know what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice is not a loan, it's something that is given. A life is something that we give. That God, here I am, take me. We sing it and it sounds good and we get pumped up. And I got cold chills like 18 times during, I'm sweating, but I got cold chills like 18 times during worship this morning. It was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just like, whoo. It was the Holy Spirit. And I sing this and declare this, but if my life is truly a living, it didn't say a dead sacrifice, it said a living sacrifice. That I come in and I say, God, here's my life, and I'm totally giving it to you. I'm totally giving it in this love relationship. I'm totally giving it to my wife. I'm totally giving it to my children. I'm totally giving it to my calling. And I'm going to pour myself out into this with knowing that you have pre-purchased a tank of gas that is going to get me to the end of this journey. I'm not fearful of running out. I'm not fearful of running out. Because He did the pre-purchase plan. And the challenge for me is to say yes and accept it. I think perhaps one of the most, I promise I'm about to hit the scripture and we're going to tie it up like that. I think one of the most overused words, I won't even say in the world because I discount what the world says anyway, but I believe one of the most overused and abused words in the body of Christ is burnout. I've used it before. I said, man, I'm just getting burnt out. Or I've got to stop doing this so I don't get burnt out. And we come in and we say that's wisdom, don't we? How many of y'all have used that? That's been our excuse before. That's been our excuse before. I'm not saying don't have a healthy balance in your life. You need a healthy balance in your life. But don't come in and let everything be predicated in your life on the thing that I'm worried about getting burnt out. I looked at the things, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about the shopping cart and what's in your shopping cart. Those of you here that'll know what I'm talking about. Everything that's important is in the shopping cart, and the Rolls Royce really isn't. But talking about the homeless guy, but in L.A. But anyway, the things that are in my shopping cart, you know, things that that I really look in my shopping cart. I have never been to a place of being burnt out on those things. I've never got burnt out on my wife. I've never got burnt out on my children. I've never got burnt out on my grandchildren. I've never got burnt out on God. I've never got burnt out on my farm. I've got tired, but I've never got burnt out on my farm. And I've never got burnt out on wild places. I've never got burnt out on any of that. You know why? Because I've never fallen out of love with any of that. And as long as I am in love with something, there is no danger of me being burnt. I will never burn out and say, well, I just can't love my wife anymore because I'm burnt out. If anything, I see it accelerating. If anything, I see it accelerating with my daughters and their families, my grandchildren. If anything, I see it accelerating with Him. If anything, I see accelerating in these other areas that I was just talking about. And so we come in and we use this term burnout as a safeguard. And really what we're saying is I refuse to full purchase plan because I don't think there's going to be enough gas to get me to the end of this thing. And I want you to know that God supplied enough to get you to the end of this journey. And if my journey is until I'm 58, I'm 55 right now, but if my journey is 3 years until I'm 58, I know I'm getting old because now when I go hunting, I tell Lori where I'm going hunting just in case something happens to me, you'll know where to find me. You know, I do. I guess that's smart, but I do, Doyle. You know, and yeah, Lori does too. She said, if you have a heart attack, I want to know where to find you and all that stuff. We're not speaking death. But I promise you there is enough gas in this tank that He has put in me because He pre-purchased it. And He said, my grace is sufficient. My calling is adequate. My anointing is enough. And I want you to run this race with patience, but run this race knowing that you have what it takes to finish this thing because of what I put in you. And I want this body of people to get that right and to get it well. And at the end of the day, I want your life to look like a life that is worship. If I outlive some of you guys and I preach y'all's funeral, wherever it is, here in a funeral home or whatever, I want to be, if I were to outlive you, I plan on living a long time. But if I outlive you, I want to be able to stand over that casket and say, that's what worship looked like. Not because he played the drums, but because he lived life so well. That everything that he did, that I could point to him and say, as a wrestling coach, that's what worship looked like to Yahweh. As a dad, that's what worship looked like to Yahweh. We've been hitting on this. I want God to look at everything that you put your hand to, Brett. Everything of value that you put your hand to, because sometimes you, like me, we put our hands to stuff that is not worthy of us putting our hand to. But everything of value that we put our hand to, I want God to look over, to be able to lean over, and Jesus to lean over the portals of glory and declare to every created being in heaven and say, that's what I died for right there. And that looks like worship to me. It's that old quote we always lift up by whichever saint it was. It said, the glory of God is man fully alive. That's what it reverts back to. I'm talking about living life like there's nothing going to be left in the tank when you're done. Without fear of getting burnt out. I promise you, Nick, if you love her like you're supposed to, you'll never get burnt out on Amanda. You'll never be looking for the next best thing. You'll not be looking for a newer and a younger and improved version. You'll never get tired and burnt out of that. If you continue to fall in love again and again and deeper and deeper and deeper. And when God looks at that, He's like, that's what I'm talking about. And the angelic beings can say, that's what He meant in Ephesians, wasn't it? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. I just want you to know that there's going to be gas in the tank to finish this thing, guys. I want you to know that. And I want you to live your life that way. I'm reading a book right now by Irwin McManus. It's called The Last Era. And if you've not listened to any Irwin McManus, he's from Mosaic Church in L.A., I challenge you just to listen to some podcasts. And some of this is stirring out of that, and some of it's stirring out of Bethel, and some of it's stirring out of Hope Chapel, and some of it's stirring out of me sitting in a tree stand talking to God. Or spending time in the Word or whatever. But I want us to run this race in such a way that there's nothing left when we're done. And I want you to know that you can do that. Because He did that pre-purchase thing. I want to read just a couple verses and I'll close this up. I'll do some more expository teaching on this Wednesday night. Did I ask y'all to turn to 1 Timothy? Everybody there? I know people use their phones now, and I just can't get used to that. I still like to flip these pages. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he says, let no man, this is the Apostle Paul writing this letter to Timothy, his spiritual son. And both of these letters to Timothy are so full of encouragement and exhortation and reminding and instruction and all of this. But he says, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers. But be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then he comes in verses 14 and 16 are the ones I really want us to focus on for just a second. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He said, don't neglect what was imparted into you. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. These are pretty powerful words. Paul's coming in, and this isn't his last letter to Timothy, but this is getting on in his spiritual journey, and the gas is getting low on Apostle Paul's tank because God's about to call him. He's about to say it's finished and call him into heaven. And he's releasing this into his spiritual son. And he's saying, here's the most important thing. And he comes in and reiterates this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. But he's coming in and he's saying, here's the most important thing. He says, don't neglect the gift that's in you. What have we been saying for 2 months now? What is our calling? And the most important thing for us to do is to love people well and steward the gifting that's in on our life. Two things. Love people well and steward the gifting that's on our lives. And he's coming in and he's saying, don't neglect this thing. He's saying, don't be weary in it. He said, you're a young man and you've got this long journey ahead of you, but I'm already saying, he comes back in this second letter to Timothy just a couple years later, and he says, hey Timothy, let me remind you, stir it back up. So in a short time period, there is the possibility of this thing becoming dormant. Or getting pushed to the side. We think our callings have a shelf life, but they don't. Nowhere in the Word, Brett, now I'm not saying that we are supposed to raise up spiritual sons and they're supposed to run in our stead and go further than we went and all of that. But nowhere in His calling on your life did He come in and say, hey, Brett, I'm going to call you to go hard for 15 years and then, that's good. I appreciate it. That was the average church life is 3 years and so you've been doing it for 15, so pat yourself on the back. You know, I had to apologize. If y'all weren't here a couple Wednesday nights ago, I had to apologize to y'all. And me and Carla were having a good time out of it. And I said, Carla, I'm not going to say this again. I'll say it today just out of reference and all. But I kept saying, I've been doing this for 29 years. Nearly 30 years. Next year, I think it'll be 30 years that I've been in ministry and all this stuff. And I kept saying that like, golly, that's a long time. It's time for me to retire. And God rebuked me on that. I mean, just flat out cold turkey rebuked me. And so we had just an awesome service, you know. And the whole Wednesday night thing was, I'm not finished yet. That was the word, and it was stout. I mean, it was thick in here. If you were here on that Wednesday night, I'm not finished yet. It was thick in here. And it was based on the thing of God getting up in my business and saying, shut up talking about how long you've been doing. I've been doing this for 8 billion years and I'm not finished yet. I released light out of my mouth and said, let there be light, and it's not finished yet. And I started loving her long, long time ago, and I'm not finished yet. And I started loving them. Long time ago, and I'm not finished yet. And I started loving you guys, and I'm not finished yet. And he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, he said, neglect not the gift that is in you. Then he comes down here. Let me read. This is heavy. I didn't lie to y'all. I'm not going to teach all this this morning. He said, neglect not that gift. And he said, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. And he said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, you'll save both yourself and them that hear thee. This isn't about me trying to save the world. It's about me saving myself. I don't know that he's talking about heaven and hell right here. But I know he's talking about wholeness, completeness, fullness. The Greek word on that is that word sozo. And we use it talking about healing rooms and restoration and all of that stuff. And he says, Timothy, the only way that you're going to be sozo is if you run this tank out completely. And you say yes to the fuel purchase plan. That you don't say, well, I'm only going to put 100 miles on it. We come in with the intention that I'm going to give myself to God and church life for a season. And when that season's up, I'm done. We do. That's not a sacrifice, that's a loan. I'll come in and you fill in the blank on how long. I'll try it for 6 months, I'll give it a year. I'll do it for 5 years. We've got these plans, just like our life is on a plan. And we'll come in and we'll say, this is what I'm going to do. And then I've given a good season, and so now it's time for me. And we use the thing of seasons in such a wrong way. Because we'll come in and we'll say, I'm going to do this for a season. My season's up now and all of this. And basically what we're saying is I'm bringing this thing back. And I've only used a quarter tank, but that's as far as I intended to go anyway. I'll rent a car knowing how far I'm going to drive, and that's what determines if I take the option fuel plan. I know I'm only going to drive 200 miles, Scott, so you know what? There ain't no way I'm going to take that fuel plan. And we'll come in with our Christian lives, and we say, I'm only going to do this much. I'm only going to do this much, and we may do it for a period of time, but I'm not going to drive much in that period of time because I'm not going to open myself up to getting hurt. And so you know what you'll do? You won't give yourself, what did he say? Give yourself holy. That's what he told Timothy. And so we won't give ourselves holy. We won't give ourselves to each other. Because I'm afraid I'll get hurt. Guess what? People are going to hurt you. People are going to disappoint you. I promise. People are going to leave you. I promise. But I guess that's why I love that song so much. So will I. Me too. I will too. If creation's going to do it, I will too. If you did it, I will too. And this thing's for keeps. And I refuse to come in and withhold from you, Nick, because I'm worried about you hurting me. Guess what? You will. You have. And I've hurt you. And I've disappointed you. But I've also loved you unconditionally and believed in you and still singing over you just because He's singing over you. And I know you're doing the same over me. And when we're not doing that in each other's life, then we're not getting what? Sozo. Study, that's a thick, big word. Study that Greek. He said, you're going to save yourself when you do this. If you live a life with nothing in reserve, if you live a life with nothing in reserve, nothing for the journey back, Cortez burned his ships. We could talk about burning our past and burning our ships. But if we live our life like that, and it is going to be full, it is going to be rich, and I promise you, because He did the fuel plan, it will always be enough. It will always be enough. So live your life like that, guys. Michaela, live your life like that. Live your life like that. Dream big. Let your dreams go further than what's even... If you're not dreaming bigger than what you can accomplish, you're not dreaming big enough. If every goal that you're setting is something that you say, if I work hard and I do this and I get a degree and I do that and I marry a great guy, then we can achieve this, this, and this. If that's the limit of your dreams, you're not dreaming big enough. Because God says, I'm bigger than anything you guys can accomplish. Because I paid for the entire tank and you're only going to pay for what you think the journey's going to be. Because if I'm going from Denver to Vail, 100 miles, 120 miles each way, I ain't getting a thing. But if I get lost on the journey, purposely lost on the journey, the glorious, glorious where He's taking us and all this, then I've just got to trust that there's enough in the tank. And I promise you, when we're following Him, He said, there is. And here's the beauty of this, and I'm worship team, y'all come on back up. Here's the beauty of this. Even when you blow it, and how many of us have not? None of us. We all have. Even, I don't mean to be looking at you. Looking, what are you looking at me for? Even when I blow it, and I do, I look at the prodigal son, and he blew it. But there was enough gas in the tank for him to come back. Y'all thought about that? See, we think as long as I'm getting it right, there's enough gas in the tank. Even when you get it wrong, there's going to be enough gas in the tank to get back home. I can't get enough of that story of the prodigal son, and I preached it 100 times. I've heard it preached another 100 times. But God said, you made the wrong decision and you went in the wrong direction, but there's still enough gas in the tank for you to make it back to your father's house, and not only make it back to your father's house, but now you're going to be a son the rest of your life. He was still a young man. He still had a journey in front of him. And God said, there's enough gas in the tank. You're not finished. When you're finished, He's taking you home, I promise. When you're done, just don't shortchange it. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. And sometimes it may seem futile. People look at you and say, you're crazy. There's a stirring. There's a call in there. There's greatness in there. There's a beautiful journey in there. When God bought the prepaid fuel option plan for Jamie's life, He didn't come and say, I'm just only going to get a quarter tank on this. That's all we're going to need for this one. He said, fill it up. Cap it off. Cap it off. You hadn't scratched the surface on your potential yet, Jamie. And here's the awesome thing about that. You know that. And that's not an indictment. That is an encouragement right there. You know that. The best in my life is in front of me. I'm 55 and I hadn't even got there yet. I'm just now figuring out. I just hope my body holds up. Because it's aches and pains now when I crawl out of bed and get off the floor and all of that stuff. I just hope it holds up. Because I want to go hard for another 40 years, 50 years. At least 30. I've asked the Lord already for another 30. I said, God, I'm serious, I have. I asked Him yesterday. I said, God, give me another 30. I want at least to make it to 85. I want to make it to 85 because there's a lot I want to... I didn't say there's a lot I want to see. There's a lot I want to accomplish. There's a lot I want to do. There's a lot I want to impact. I want to impact your children one day. Where they look at me and be like, dang, that Joker, boy, he's rock solid. Steady. Steady. I still want that stirring and fall in love with kingdom and the wild places in God. Not just the wild places, but the wild places in God. And be full of the... Here's what I want to release. Another thing I want to release into you guys this morning is the hope of possibility. Because I feel like some people in here have lost that. The hope of possibility. He said, what are you talking about, Steve? The hope of possibility. That's an amazing thing. That will be a catalyst in your life. That can be a catalyst in your life. It's the hope of possibility. And for people that don't have it, they don't get it. I want that to stir in you. I want to release that in you. Because some of us, we're playing it safe too much. Some of you guys are playing it safe too much. You're playing it safe too much. Yesterday afternoon, it was nasty, wasn't it? Wasn't it a nasty day yesterday? Especially when the cold front started coming in, mixed in with the rain and the wind was blowing and all that. I went and got in a tree and I was sitting 25 foot up in a tree. And I was soaking wet and the wind was blowing and Lori's like, you're nuts. You're nuts and all that stuff. But you know why I did that? Because of the hope of possibility. Because see, Thursday I went and I sat in that same tree and I saw an 8-point lip curling a doe. And I said, maybe a little early rut going on this year. If you're not in hunt, you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't tune me out. I got a point in this. And I said, if they're coming in, I told her, I said, if there's starting to be some activity, and after this rain they're going to be feeding. So I'm sitting up in this tree not to get away out of the house and not to enjoy a nice evening out in the weather because it was a raunchy evening out in the weather. But I came in and I was wet and I was cold. And Lori's like, boy, do you wish? Now I bet you wish you didn't go. I said, nope. I said, it was awesome. And you know why it was awesome? Because of the hope of possibility. The hope of possibility. The hope of possibility. You get it. You know what I'm talking about because you're a hunter. You get it. If I brought Fat Daddy home, I'd been like, that was the best hunting day of my life. I'd still been wet, still been miserable, the still wind still blowing my tree. The hope of possibility is amazing. And here's what I want you to know. In the flesh, your gas gauge is broken because it's going to lie to you. Y'all ever had a vehicle, the gas gauge didn't work? And you're like, man, I don't know how much gas is in here. So you always played it safe. You'd go 50, you say, man, I got to go fill up. It'd hold $8 worth. You're like, well, I didn't use as much as I thought. In the physical, Michelle, in the physical, your gas gauge is broken. It's lying to you. It says you're tired. It says you're at the end of your rope. It says that you don't get burned out and the enemy will come in and he's not going to tempt you with some hot guy to cheat on Matt or anything like that. You know what he's going to do to you? He's going to say your tank's getting empty. Slow down. Stop. You've done hard for a season. Now let's have a season of not. Here's the thing. She's only going to be that age one time. When she's going through those years, can you say, how old are you? 12? You about to be a teenager. Ooh, yeah, 5 years. Wasn't bad. It's glorious. Wasn't bad. It's glorious. But here's the thing. I didn't enter into a season of nothingness when my girls were 12 and 13, and 14 and 15 and 16. I said, I got a full tank, so let's go hard. Let the spiritual gas gauge in your life guide you and dictate you. Okay? That's my word to you this morning. Because your gas gauge will lie to you. And it'll say done. It'll say low. It'll say not enough. God says, my grace is sufficient. And my purpose is enduring. And I know my thoughts towards you. I know what those thoughts are. Okay? That's what His Word is. So let's just stand to our feet this morning. I want to impart something to you guys. If you need prayer this morning for anything that you're facing, and you're sitting here and saying, man, I don't know if I can do this, or I don't know if I've got it in me, or I've never felt anything about what you're talking about this morning, Brother Sid, this is all a foreign concept to me, then come down. Let me pray with you. Let Brett House pray with you. If you're a woman, come down here, and Robin will pray with you. But Beth, you know, shoot, there's 50 people in this church that can pray with you. It doesn't have to be me. Grab Randy, grab Terry as you come down. And say, man, I just need to know from God that there's enough gas in the tank. That's what you needed this morning. That's what you needed. You need an infusion of grace. Not really an infusion of grace, just a reminder that the grace is there. That the grace is there. We can do this. You can do this. A life well lived. A sozo. So today I want to correct your gas gauge. Today Holy Spirit wants to correct your gas gauge. So that you don't go through thinking it's empty. But you go through saying, doggone, this thing is slap full. And it never seems to go down. Have you ever noticed anything about your car? That when you fill your car up, it takes a long time to get it all full. But when you get down below a quarter tank, how quick does it go, Chris? I wish the first quarter or the last quarter lasted as long as the first quarter did. Because when it's on full, good golly, it's like it takes forever to get it all full. But when it gets down close to E, that's the lie the enemy will tell you. That you're close to E and it's going to go out quick. But I want you to know with the belief that God said it's full and it's going to last. Carolyn, it's full and it's going to last. So if you need to move for any capacity this morning, meet God for the first time, then come to me. Come to grab somebody. We'll pray with you if you need to meet God for the first time. If you're a prodigal son and you say, dude, I've wasted it. And God says, no, you haven't. Come on down. Come on to the Lord. If you're just a Christian and you need a recalibration, you need some grace in your life, come on down. Let's let God just minister to you.